Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, Jake Gutierrez, and Tim Grunhardt's here. Wow.
What are you giggling about?
I'm laughing at a DM I just sent Jake that I can't mention on the air, but I think Jake will get it. It's a joke. It's not funny.
This guy's always giggling over here.
Yeah, don't get used to it. I will be back.
It made me laugh.
Be back in the Southern Command today. I came in. I want to thank my good friends for the America's Auto Auction up by the airport. Went up and spoke to them at breakfast this morning. Talked a little about teamwork. Team. And a little pride, personal responsibility, and daily excellence. It was a good group. I appreciate those guys having me come into town. And heading back down for a couple weeks. And then I'm back full-time, buddy.
What's wrong with you, man?
What is wrong with you?
What is wrong?
Wasn't it funny?
Johnny Cakes.
So give us a little sampling. Tell us about teamwork. We need to hear it. Trust me.
You need a little teamwork?
Sure.
You're about to tell me something about the huddle.
Yeah, the huddle from Coach Curry. If you ever get an opportunity to watch, it's on YouTube. It's about the huddle and how all kinds of people from all kinds of different backgrounds, different religions, different creeds, different colors come together in order to have success. And, you know, I think we all can learn a lesson from the NFL huddle. There's a bunch of people in there with type A personalities, people that are obviously feel that they're blank, done, stink.
Ooh.
And they all come together for one cause, and that is to win a football game. And it's a really good life lesson. People from all kinds of different backgrounds, rich, poor, you know, city, country, and they all come together. So that's what teams are all about. You guys do that here every day. Great teamwork here at 810 WHB. starting with our big toe, Chad
right.
Boger.
That's right.
What do you think? Our big toe. What's that from? What movie?
Oh, Stripes.
Yeah. Sergeant Hulka is like right. Our big toe.
One of the greatest comedies of all time. Underrated. Even though people love it. It's fantastic.
So I was watching that the other day.
Lighting up, Francis.
You know, just watch the scene from the barracks, and that's all
yeah.
you need.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
When everyone's introducing them.
No. So I was flipping through, and remember the guy who was like the colonel or whatever? He's like spying on the girls in the shower. That's
played by the actor John Larroquette.
Yes, John Larroquette. That scene, I didn't realize how revealing.
Ooh,
revealing
right.
That was.
Scrub your back. Yeah. That's right.
Oh, I didn't know they could do that.
And he gets startled, and his
Jake just went on. He wants to see what we're talking about.
No, it's John Larroquette from Night Court.
Yes, absolutely.
I remember.
Okay, so we have you for half an hour. We have many topics to run through. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I hope you're locked
Let's
in.
Let's go. I'm in.
Carson Wentz, backup quarterback for the Chiefs.
Love it. Absolutely love
That's
it.
That's right.
Love it. Hey, listen, I hope nothing happens to Patrick Mahomes ever. Knock on wood. But when you got a guy like Carson Wentz backing you up, a guy who's professional, a guy who's been around, he's a pro, maybe not quite up to the starter standards of the, you know, there's only, 32 starting jobs in the NFL, and he may not be one of those guys, but he certainly is a great backup quarterback, and I think he's going to help Patrick Mahomes, and it'll help the team because, listen, the guy, he's got a lot of experience. He's been in a lot of different offenses, and anytime you bring a quarterback in that's been in a lot of different offenses, and the underrated thing, or really the dirty little secret, is that they do a really good job of preparing the defense. And here's a guy that's been in a lot of offenses, understands the verbiage, understands the concepts, understands what they're trying to get done, and he can help during scout team the defenses prepare for those offenses. So I think it's a great move.
The
next,
Rashee Rice.
Listen, I'm very disappointed in Rashee Rice. It breaks my heart that he has to go through this, but it's a life lesson. You have to learn these lessons in life, and hopefully he learned a lesson. And I understand nobody was seriously hurt. A lot of carnage, but nobody's seriously hurt. So if you can learn a lesson in life that, the testosterone and thinking that what you do, you can do anything you want, and just being that age, like we all were at one time, making dumb decisions, maybe he learns from this and becomes a better person, a better player. I've heard nothing but good things about him around the complex. He made a mistake. He's got to pay for it. He's probably going to get suspended for a little bit. But I don't think he should be cut. I don't think he should be run out of the NFL. But I think he needs to learn his lesson, and I think he will. And you know, the crazy thing about it is, maybe, just maybe, he learns his lesson and mentors some other younger guys who come in and feel like they're invincible and can do whatever they want and make some poor decisions. Listen, I made poor decisions, and I had mentors who helped me work through them. And I'd be a hypocrite if I said that, that he can't do the same thing. So I think he can, and I'm hoping that someday that there'll be a young guy that comes in and he can mentor him and say, listen, I did this, I did that. It was not a good idea. I had to pay with suspensions and fines and lawyers and everything. You name it. It's going to cost him a lot of money, and hopefully he learns his lesson. I don't think we should be running Rashid Rice out of town on a rail or anything. You know, I think he's just he better learn his lesson from it and not make this mistake again.
Nate Bucati?
Yeah, your big hope is that this is a wake up call and this is something that he learns from. I'm just wading into the waters of raising a teenager who's.
God bless you.
Who's got a learner's permit now and wants to drive everywhere and thinks he's capable of driving in situations that I'm not comfortable with him driving in yet. And I'm like, you're not properly scared of this responsibility. Like, you need to be.
Yeah, you're right.
You need to be. You should be more scared of what could happen, you know. And it terrifies me because right now he's only allowed to drive when I'm in the car with him or my wife's in the car with him, you know. But some point in the very near future, he's going to be allowed to drive on his own.
I know that Steven has experienced this, and I certainly have. I will tell you, once kids start to drive on their own, and on a Friday or a Saturday night, and let's say they have to be home at midnight, and you hear about 11:30 or 11:45, you hear a siren in the background, it's crazy what goes through your mind.
Right, right.
Crazy what goes through your mind. You're always so worried. You will not sleep.
Yeah.
Even when my kids come home now, whether they're married or two of them, one lives in St. Louis, one's in Cincinnati. They're an RN and executive in one of the companies, and they come home, and I can't sleep when they're out when I'm home. When nowadays, I mean, you just don't, and that's you're gonna learn that. That is, and,
yeah.
And I'm sure that as a GM,
huh.
And as a head coach. And I remember when I was at KU, I think we even talked about this before. There's about a month and a half in the summer where you kind of let them go, and you just don't sleep because they're kids. They make dumb mistakes, and mm-hmm. you just hope that they don't hurt themselves or hurt other people. But you're always worried.
It never ends, man. Richie's 27, and I tell him after we're out or we go somewhere, text me when you get home, would you?
Yeah.
And if he doesn't and he forgets and they say, I'm so pissed off, just text home.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Phil's
thumbs up.
Phil's going to be 21.
God bless you.
In 11 days. And then I'm trying to teach two 15-year-old girls at the same time to drive. And it's not going well. Yeah. And one of them wants to drive right now. The other one, thankfully, is not as concerned about it.
Yeah.
And she might wait a little bit. But, yeah, I'm going through it. Every day of my life, Timmy.
So to answer your question on Rashid, I'm praying for him. I hope he learns his lesson. He's going to have to pay the piper as well he should. But I think there's some people in the locker room, some strong personalities. I know that there's some people in the locker room, strong personalities. They're not too happy with some of the decision-making, and hopefully he'll learn his lesson from it.
Yeah, it's going to be, at the very least, a very, very expensive mistake.
Yes.
Financially, like, we already see that as lawyers coming out and saying he's admitted that he was the one driving. He said they're already been in contact with the victims,
which is refreshing, to be brutally honest
yeah.
with you. It really
yeah.
is. God, somebody telling the truth.
I mean, now this comes after they left the scene.
I get it.
So you don't want to give him too much credit,
no.
but at least he's
he seems to
be owning it and facing the consequences and all that. And there are going to be some serious financial consequences.
What was he thinking though, leaving the scene like nobody was going to see him?
Well, there's a lot of reasons that people will leave a.
Oh, I know.
Leave
yeah,
a scene
yeah, yeah,
that they.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. it's worse than, in their
yeah.
mind, what they could get caught. So, but this part, maybe the average fan doesn't care about. I don't know. But you look at the stuff that just the circumstances around this, and you go, that kid's going to be broke with all the money he's made if he doesn't figure out some things real quick, because the money that he's made to this point, the money that he's going to make, isn't going to last long at the rate that he's spending it on Lamborghinis.
Yeah,
and
when you lease a Lamborghini, that's not cheap.
No.
$1,750 a day.
A day.
A day. Now that's, and then how much is he, and what's the insurance? What's his car insurance going to be like after this whole
situation?
Forget
about it.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Because I'm thinking about car insurance if my kid starts driving.
Hey, by the way, forget about it.
No, I know. I'm like, you might not be able to drive now because I don't know if I can afford it.
It is expensive.
And you know, I hope maybe this is the kind of thing. The hope that it's like this is a wake-up call, not only from a responsibility standpoint of, hey, don't do dangerous things, but also from a standpoint of, man, you're never, you know, your NFL career is not guaranteed to last for a really long time. You're not guaranteed another big contract after this, and you got a chance to be good for the rest of your life if you're just smart with this.
Absolutely.
You know, and you hope maybe some people around him that maybe have already been telling him that he hadn't been listening to, maybe he'll listen to him a little bit now.
Yep.
You know, so hopefully, like you said, because like that's the thing, I was just thinking about it when we talk about young people making mistakes. I know my kids are going to make big mistakes and do stupid things. I hope that none of them are so big that they can't recover from them. Those are the big fears you have as a parent, right? And like, had somebody died in this situation, that's the kind of mistake you might not be able to recover from.
Look at
the
kid from Oakland Rugs.
Yeah,
his
life is
forever.
Yeah. So, luckily for him, it doesn't look like it was it was that kind of mistake, and hopefully, it is one that he can recover from, and everybody's the better for it in the long run. So,
next topic,
yes, sir,
the stadium vote, no wins.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't able to follow it as much, and you know, when I first heard that it didn't win, I was shocked. But then listening to people that are in the know, it didn't seem like it was well prepared. And I don't know if that means that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to go to Kansas. I don't know if that means that they're going to stay home. I'm sure all those decisions will be made, and it'll be made for the best interest of the club, because guess what? They're in the business of making money, and they're in the business of finding opportunities for their fan base to enjoy the process more, whatever, you know, that whole deal. But reality of the situation is it just wasn't a it wasn't a good deal overall, I guess, I'm hoping that you know, there's people like, well, you live in Kansas, don't you want to, you know, you probably want the Chiefs. No, I don't. I want the Chiefs to, you know, be in Kansas City and be there at the Truman Sports Complex. I think the Royals need to build their own stadiums eventually and get somewhere, whether it's Clay County.
Okay, Clay County.
Yep.
Sounds like it's plain to me.
Yep. As long as it's not Nashville.
It's not going to be Nashville.
Where Jake or Nate will be here in a couple hours.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Would you like to hear a Facebook post from John Sherman's wife, Marnie? I think you might.
Okay.
What is your reaction to the fact that John Sherman's wife is posting on Facebook about it?
Usually those aren't good things.
Says who? All right.
I mean, they may be good for us.
Sure. In case you missed this, this is and this is making news.
Is it coming? Does it start with Jane, you ignorant slut?
Maybe. Here's a Facebook post from Marnie Sherman. Unfortunately, neither team will work with Jackson County again. They had been working behind the scenes for 2 years, attempting to get a location approved. Which was, I think, Frank White's plan all along. Mm. In any case, most unfortunate for sports fans in KC, the lack of leadership has lost the city two treasured assets. I mean, if you don't support the Chiefs after 3 Super Bowl wins, why would they stay? We will be lucky if both teams wind up in Kansas, at least still in the area. Well, I can't discuss all the details, but it wasn't a switch except to the public. The county wouldn't move on anything, and the crossroads was the most desirable because of several factors all along. The 13th Street site also involved moving the homes of a 50-unit apartment complex and several other negatives. Hope that's the worst of it. No more Jackson County for sure. Some are having buyer's remorse on their no votes.
Reminds me of a... What is this song? I Will Survive. Hey, hey.
Right.
I was petrified. Hey, I hope it works out, and I'm sure it will. I'm not too worried about it.
They'll be in the Kansas City area.
Yeah,
I don't know that they're going to be in Jackson County.
Well, it sounds like they're not.
Yeah. I mean, there's a path to Jackson County, to stay in Jackson County for both organizations. There's also a path to Johnson County, Wyandotte County, Clay County. But it sounds like if John Sherman's wife has anything to do with it, I'm done with Jackson County. So, according to Facebook.
There you go.
Why don't you post some stuff on Facebook? You're on Facebook?
I am on Facebook. It's mostly just pictures of dogs.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
I love it.
So now where do you go now? You just come in here and you
where do I go now?
Run through our lives and you're going.
This good.
You look like a Florida man.
From this point, thank you. I'm working hard at it. I've started a new, I don't want to call it diet, but a new lifestyle. I don't eat one day a week.
I was going to say.
I don't eat anything.
Fast.
Yes.
There's a couple of lifestyles you can start down in Florida.
And I don't eat anything after 8 o'clock at night, ever.
Yeah, intermittent fasting.
So,
it's so good for you.
I take Mondays, and that's what I heard. Monday, a good buddy of mine said, he does it for 3 days.
You know the science behind it.
Yeah, it starts to break down some of the fats around your organs and everything.
Yes, but why that happens?
No. We have a couple minutes. Can you tell me?
I can tell you quickly.
All right.
So if you think about outside of your brain, the organ that uses the most energy in your body is your stomach digesting food.
Uh-huh.
And so when you're not using that energy digesting food, because usually we're constantly digesting food the way we eat in this society.
Yeah.
Right.
Grazers.
Right. And especially when you sleep, it takes twice as much energy to digest food when you're sleeping than it does when you're awake.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're not digesting food all the time, what your body does with that energy is it detoxifies your body. The energy that it would be using for your digestion, since there's nothing in your stomach to digest, it takes that extra energy. And what it does is it detoxes your body. It gets all the toxins and
I love it.
The things that oxidize your body, that's how you age. Everything that gets oxidized is aging. So what it does is it antioxidates your body, and it slows the aging of your body down.
So you fast on Mondays?
Monday. I don't eat anything on Monday.
Nothing at all?
Nothing at all.
You have water?
I have water.
Yeah.
You know, I have some
broth.
Crystal Light. You know, water.
That's but not, no you food. Have nothing,
nothing
solid.
Yeah, nothing
that's
solid.
How you do it, man.
And then after 8 o'clock, and I got a good buddy of mine who actually played for the Chiefs and Green Bay Packers, Lindsey Knapp. He does it 3 days a week. Now, that to me is...
I've done a 7-day water-only fast.
Wow.
I've done that 3 different times.
Are you seeing, things going across the sky?
Well, it's interesting because, your body goes into its natural... It's like, okay, our human bodies are just... They're animals, right? So your animal instinct is like, well, I need food.
Right.
So your senses all become ultra-heightened. Because, if we were, 50,000 years ago, if you didn't have food for 7 days...
All our senses?
Well, yes. I mean, your
could be interesting.
So that you can become a better hunter.
Yeah, so you can forage better for berries, or you would your eyesight. So all your senses are ultra heightened. So
all right.
I love it.
And then last but not least, you guys didn't talk to me about the rugby player. I love it. I think it's awesome.
Oh, you love that?
I think he's going to play H-back.
Yes.
I think he'll be like a fullback type of hip tight end. I know people are saying now he's not going to get on the field. I think this kid is an unbelievable athlete. And it'll be fun to see if he can take his skills and it translates to the NFL. Now, maybe it won't, but all indications are he's a very good athlete, great quickness, can catch the ball. It's going to be a fun project to watch. I was talking, I think, Curtis, and I think he's right. Curtis is either he's going to be on the practice squad and won't see the field at all, or the kid's going to be thrown in there in the very first play and kick off. I mean, it's going to be all or nothing with this kid. So, that would be fun to watch, but I do think if he's going to be in the offense, I think Andy Reid is looking for some different ways to present the offense, and H-back is one of those where you can move him back as a fullback. You could, move him from one side to the other and kind of put him, stacked behind the tight end, and you got good angles. He's got some tough physicalness to him. It'll be fun to watch this project happen. And, so Carson Wentz, great deal. I'm glad that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back. I think, he's good for the locker room, and he's good for that room. And, you know, I think the Chiefs, Hollywood, Brown, nice signing. They're doing all the things they need to do to stay competitive and to stay right where they're at, and I think they've done a lot of that.
All right, Timmy, we will release you back into the wild.
All right, I'm back. I'm going to go heighten my senses a little bit.
Unbelievable. Yeah. That's Tim Gunhard. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati's gone, but I'm here with Jake Gutierrez on this Friday, April 5th. 2024. Don't forget to come and see me tomorrow at Hy-Vee in the Northland, 29 and 64th Street. I will be there from 10 a.m. until noon. And it should be a lot of fun. They're going to have a good old-fashioned meat sale. And also, besides getting incredible deals for the Butcher Block, having a graduation open house. If you're planning a graduation party, go to open house from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Perfect time for parents and graduates to see and taste options for the graduation parties. So stop in tomorrow, Hy-Vee in the Northland, 29 and 64th Street. I'll be there from 10 until noon. Right now we'll talk college basketball with Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I am well, Stephen. How are you?
Doing very well. Lots of basketball to talk about, so let's get to it. I thoroughly enjoyed watching the NIT championship game last night, and I don't remember any time in the last couple of decades uttering that sentence. And so it was really, because I've watched Indiana State. I had a chance to see Seton Hall in person earlier this year, and so I was interested in the game. It was a high-level game. It came right down to the wire. I thought Indiana State had it when they were up 7 with under 3 minutes left, and then Seton Hall finished on a 9-0 run. And I know it was also interesting for people because those were two teams that angered some college basketball fans about not getting in to the NCAA tournament. And so Stan Weber was here earlier, and he's the color commentator for Kansas State football and basketball. And he had an interesting question I'll ask you. For Indiana State, look, everyone's goal is to get into the NCAA tournament, but for those two teams, did they benefit more by getting the NIT and going on this run and having this showcase last night as opposed to making the tournament and maybe being one and done? I thought that was at least an interesting question. I think if Indiana State would have won it, especially in front of their home, you know, home state fans, maybe you could say that. But it sure was a great atmosphere last night. That was some awesome basketball.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed the heck out of that game. Really, it was entertaining. The teams were clearly passionate about trying to win it. The crowd was great. It was a great atmosphere, and really kind of I thought was a subtle rebuke to those who declined the NIT invitation because for whatever reason they thought they were too good for it. They thought they were angry about not getting into the NCAAs. I thought that that those two teams showed that you play because you play. You play because you love the game. That's supposed to be what it's about. And that when breaks go against you, do you quit because do you walk off the floor because the ref makes a bad foul call and puts your best player on the bench with four fouls? Do you do that? I don't think so. So why would you do this? I think that those teams showed you don't walk off the floor because you got a tough break. I don't think either of those teams was unfairly excluded from the NCAAs. I think it's important to state that. We had an unusual circumstance this year with four or five teams winning bids that guaranteed them entry into the tournament that would not have been in the field without winning the automatic bid. We saw UAB do that, Duquesne. And some team named NC State. And that's one reason why I sort of reject the notion of the question you asked, because who's to say that if they had won their automatic bids, or if the bids hadn't been squeezed in the way that they were, and maybe there was room for Seton Hall or Indiana State or both, who's to say that they might not have done what NC State's doing now? We can't say that.
Mm-hmm.
They were certainly capable basketball teams. But in Indiana State's case, and I wrote this on Twitter the other night when people started the revisionist history about them and they should have been in, and you know, when they won their semifinal game in the NIT, it really became an avalanche of, oh, they see, they should have been in all along. Well, then they should have won their automatic bid and gotten in. I mean, that was available to them, as it was to NC State, as it was to Pitt, which complained about not getting in. Well, NC State was in a similar circumstance, maybe certainly a lesser at-large case than Pitt had, but Pitt was on the floor with Carolina and didn't get it done. NC State did. That's why they're here. So I look at it and say, you know, yeah, those teams that didn't make it, whether it was Seton Hall or St. John's or Pitt or Indiana State, had bad luck, because this was a year in which we had more what we call bit stealers than in any 3 or 4 year span we usually have. But you also had the opportunity to do more in your regular season. Indiana State lost their 4 most difficult games in their season. If you're a mid-major and you lose your 4 most difficult games, it's really, unless you win your own automatic bid, it's really unlikely you're going to get into the field.
Mike DeCourcy is our guest. Mike, like I said, several topics I want to discuss. Real quick, coaching carousel. Eric Musselman going to USC. Now the Arkansas job is open. First couple of names that I've seen pop up from different people, Chris Beard and Jerome Tang. Do you think that K-State fans have anything to worry about with the Arkansas job being open?
Yeah, I do. I think for a couple of reasons, although I think they'll probably end up trying to get Beard or Wade, and we'll see whether Ole Miss. In the case of Will Wade, there's nothing McNeese can do to hold him. I mean, if Arkansas is interested in Will, they'll get him. Whereas Ole Miss could counter and up the pay for Chris, Coach Beard, and then maybe he stays there. For Kansas State, I think here's the complication for K-State, and I've spoken to a couple of different coaches who are on the K-State side of things, so to speak. No one really knows where college athletics is heading over the next 5 to 10 years. I think if it's just a 10-year span, everybody could sort of be relax and be good. But there's a fear, and fear motivates people, that something drastic could change within the next 2 or 3 or 4 years. And that you, if you're not on one of the big boats, then maybe your boat might not float as well. And the two big boats are now the SEC and the Big Ten. And so if you have an opportunity to coach at one of those schools, you have to think about it. Now, you may, you know, someone like Jerome, if this is presented to him, might say, you know what, where I stand in my career, I'm 56, 57 years old, I have a place where I'm successful, where I'm appreciated, and they're paying me well, and so maybe I don't really think I need to be on that boat. Now, that's not to say he might not, you know, use that boat as an opportunity to, you know, to maybe add a few more, you know, wings to his house or whatever. But that's different than actually being interested in the job. But I do think he has to, if it's presented to him, he has to at least think about it. Is he good with where he is if there is drastic change? I don't think the change in this sport will be as drastic as people fear, at least, especially not near term. There may be some drastic changes to March Madness and such, but in terms of the competitive environment and what you're shooting for, I think will stay similar over the next at least half decade, at least, and probably longer.
All right, Mike, tonight is the women's Final Four. I have a daughter. One of my daughters plays high school basketball. She's super excited. We're excited to watch it together. And a Final Four that features NC State against a South Carolina team that's trying to go undefeated. And then Gino Auriemma and Paige Beckers in UConn trying to figure out a way to slow down Caitlin Clark in Iowa. And Friday night on ESPN should be a tremendous amount of eyeballs on it. Maybe could you just speak to the excitement and the stage that this is going to be on tonight for women's college basketball?
Yeah, I think it's great. I watched Monday night, and I had less opportunity to watch Sunday's regional finals because I was covering Tennessee versus Purdue in Detroit, and then was also having to get into place to do all of that. So I wasn't able to see as much of the Sunday games, the South Carolina and NC State games. But I watched Monday night and thoroughly enjoyed it. It was terrific and wonderful basketball, and Caitlin was amazing. And so I'm sure that I will watch tonight, and I will make a special effort to watch tonight. You know, at the Final Four, usually those games coincide with when everybody who's covering gets finished with work and is hungry and just wants to go get some dinner. But I know that I'm not going anywhere tonight that doesn't have TVs. I want to eat, yeah, but I want to see these games. They have changed the paradigm in women's basketball over the last two or three years, and I know that there's a lot of people in the sport. I've seen it play out. I wrote about it a month ago, who are resentful of the fact that it took a Caitlin Clark to change the paradigm. But that's the wrong approach. Like, nobody hated Joe Namath in the NFL when he changed it. No one hated Magic and Bird. And maybe on one side of Boston side they hated Magic, or LA side they hated Bird. But nobody hated them both because they changed the paradigm in the NBA. And Caitlin Clark has done that for women's college basketball, and soon will do that for the WNBA. You have to embrace that at a level that right now not enough figures in women's basketball are. They're too resistant to it. They feel it should have happened years ago. Well, it should have, but it didn't, and now it is. Embrace it, revel in it, and grow the game to where it should be.
Mike DeCourcy is our guest. All right, the men's Final Four. I think what most people are hoping is for UConn to be tested. They play Alabama. We'll see Purdue and North Carolina State in an intriguing, you know, battle of big men. But I think some, at least college basketball fans that I've talked to, just think that it's going to be UConn steamrolling the next two games and winning back-to-back, which is unbelievably difficult. And it's so impressive. I think if it's UConn-Purdue in the championship game, that could be a really exciting game. But, hell, I don't know if Purdue can give them a great game. I'm just curious what you think about this run from UConn and whether or not we're going to see them tested this weekend at all.
I think that if it's Purdue, I think it will be a contest, without a doubt. I don't know what Vegas will put that out. I would suspect it'll probably be 4.5, 5.5 if they meet. That would be somewhere around the line. So although that is a clear favoring of UConn, it's not a prediction that it's going to be a blowout. I don't think we're going to see, if we see that game, I don't think we'll see a game that is one-sided. I believe that Purdue would compete in that game and have a shot. I would still expect UConn to win, but I think a Purdue-UConn national championship game could be a significant matchup. I give Alabama a three-point shooter's chance. And by that I mean, like, okay, so that they've made something like, I think they made something like 27 threes combined in their Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games. I think they'd have to approach that number in the UConn game to have a chance. And that's not going to happen. I mean, I really don't think Alabama wins tomorrow night. I think NC State has a better chance at Purdue, but I think Purdue would have to have some bad luck, like Edie getting the foul trouble, something like that. I think NC State's very good, but I think it runs out tomorrow night. I think we'll see Purdue versus UConn, and although I do think UConn will win, I would be surprised if they rolled over Purdue. Purdue's a very good basketball team. I mean, they played most of the best teams in college basketball this year. They didn't play Houston, and they haven't yet played UConn. But they played pretty much everybody else and handled, to some degree, everybody else they've played.
But, man, if UConn, let's say they win by double digits these next two games and extend that streak to 12 games of winning by double digits, what do you say if that happens?
Well, I think the first thing that's most remarkable about it, even if they only win the next two games by a point, is the fact that, I mean, you go back over history, okay, Florida 06-07, Duke, 91-92. The UCLA run from 67 to 73. You look at all of those, and Cincinnati in the early 60s, 61-62. You look at all of those, and the turnover on those teams is, in some cases, I mean, you lose Kareem, that's a lot of turnover, right? Or you lose Sidney Wicks, that's a lot of turnover, but it's nice that you lose Kareem, you get Sidney Wicks. You lose Sidney Wicks, you get Bill Walton. But the turnover through all of those teams was not exorbitant. The turnover from UConn 2023 to UConn 2024, they lost 75% of their points from last year's team to this year and got better. That's crazy. It's just, it's unfathomable that that's the case. They have a chance to pull off a repeat unlike basically any other in the history of college basketball. We've been doing this for more than 90 years, the NCAA tournament. We have a chance to see something we've never seen before if UConn's able to do it. Like I said, even if it's just by a point in those two games, that will be the true history. The double-digit thing, that they could go through 12 games in a row, would be remarkable. But I think the real consequential element is to be able to win it in consecutive years with almost entirely different teams. I mean, you look at, okay, they still have Alex Caravan and Tristan Newton. Those two guys both started in a championship game last year and were very good players. But you lost five out of your top seven scorers, and here you are back with a chance to do it again.
Wow. Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks.
Great stuff from Mike DeCourcy, as always. We'll take a break, and back after this to wrap things up on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, come and see me tomorrow at Hy-Vee in the Northland, 29 and 64th Street. I'll be there from 10 until noon for a good old-fashioned meat sale at Hy-Vee, 29 and 64th Street in the Northland. They also have a graduation open house if you're planning a graduation party. Perfect time for parents and graduates to see and taste all the options for your graduation party. So stop by tomorrow from 10 until noon, I-29 and 64th Street Hy-Vee in the Northland. I'm going to be there 10 to noon for a good old-fashioned meat sale right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.